Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word, means family. We're the Mishpocha, the family with the Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile, it's finally come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar, all the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for Jesus. If not now, when? As a matter of fact, my guest is Craig Hill, and I've had him as a guest several times, a Messianic Vision. And Craig said to me, Sid, if you don't have me release the information now as to what is going on in America, in particular in the economy, next year, I believe, will be too late. Do you really feel that way, Craig?
I absolutely do, Sid. I think now is a very unique time in history. Of course, you know, people always think that, but I think we have a very unique time right now in economic history. There are things that are taking place this year in 2012 that have not taken place for 70 or 80 years, longer than most of our lifetime. And now is a short season of time to prepare for what will be coming. And if people don't understand what's happening now, I think they may miss it.
And the thing that's so wonderful is you speak about secrets from the Bible that only the very elite have done over the centuries, over the history of the world. And if people follow these principles, unless they get a supernatural result from these principles, people that are in a mess, which is 99% of the people we're talking about financially, that we're talking to, unless God performs a miracle using his principles, they're going to be in a mess next year.
Well, you know, I believe a scripture that God gave me, Sid, a few years ago was the one from 1 Chronicles 12:32 about the sons of Issachar. And it said, the sons of Issachar were men who had understanding of the times to know what Israel should do. And I thought, we are not supposed to be the ones who are blindsided. We're not supposed to be the ones who say, as many people said in 2008, well, who could have known? We're supposed to be the ones that have understanding of the times, that understand from both principles in the Word of God as well as from the prophets and what we're hearing personally from the Lord, what is going on. But you're absolutely right. There are cycles that we see in the Bible that I find many, many people are really unaware of. I find that most people are Greek thinkers, and you know, we have a Greek type of thinking, which is a linear thinking, just a straight line, which means most people think everything will continue on exactly the way it's been all their lifetime. Jewish people or Hebraic thinkers tend to think in cycles. And we see all through the Bible there are cycles that take place, and people who understand cycles are always able to prepare for the next phase of the cycle. People who are linear thinkers that just think, well, what I've experienced economically for the last 50 years will just continue the same as it always has been, never prepare for the next cycle, and then when it happens, they're surprised, miss it, oftentimes are hurt, lose money, lose their house, lose their finances, and then wonder what happened.
Well, you know, as I'm looking over your material and looking at what's going on just by reading the newspapers, last month, articles started to break that poverty in the USA will be the highest in 50 years next year. The highest in 50 years. What do you foresee happening in America next year?
Well, what I see happening, Sid, God gave me a revelation from Leviticus chapter 25 about the Jubilee. And, of course, Jubilee is not a new concept. We've heard that in teaching for years. A lot of people have named their church Jubilee. People have had conferences on Jubilee and a lot of teaching about that. But what I found is most people didn't actually read Leviticus 25 and see what it actually talks about. But what I began discovering here probably 5 or 6 years ago is I was reading through Leviticus 25 and thinking about Jubilee, and it says that three things happen there. I found that most people are only aware of two of the things that are talked about in Jubilee. But the purpose of Jubilee was to eliminate debt. And God, being real smart, understood that anytime credit is made available in a society and you allow people to borrow money, human nature dictates there's just a 100% chance that people will borrow more money than is possible to pay back. And lenders, because of greed, will lend money to people that have no business borrowing. As a result of that, in about 50 years of time, an economy will take on an unsustainable amount of debt. And God said, what you need to do, he said to Israel, is there needs to be a national debt purge every 50 years.
Yeah, you know what that reminds me of? When they have forest fires, they're bad, but they accomplish good because they thin the forest so it'll be better.
So you have to purge that which accumulates that's toxic, so to speak. You have to eliminate it. And so God commanded Israel to do that on a voluntary basis, just like the forest fires. He said, voluntarily, every 50 years, I want you to have a debt reset where you eliminate all debt is forgiven, and the economy resets. As you accumulate debt, an economy accumulates inflation, or it inflates. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. You have capital creation through debt that occurs over decades of time. And God said, every 50 years, you're to voluntarily purge this. And he said, three things will happen. He said, all debt is to be eliminated or canceled. All slaves are to go free. And everybody returns to their original property, or property returns to the original owner. And what I began to discover, Sid, is that if you don't have a voluntary debt purge mechanism in an economy, then you get to have an unplanned jubilee. And I've just noticed in history, there are unplanned jubilees that have happened in European history, happened here in North American history, about every 70 to 80 years. So if an economy refuses to have a planned voluntary jubilee, then you get to have an unplanned jubilee, and that's unfair in the sense that a lot of people don't know it's coming. God said, the jubilee I want is to be fair. You proclaim it, you declare it, everybody knows when it is, nobody's surprised, nobody's blindsided, but yet if you don't do that voluntarily, then an economy will have an unplanned jubilee. The last one we had was in the 1930s. And
how often are these unplanned? We know about the planned because the Bible is a formula. But how often are these unplanned depressions or jubilees, as you put it?
They happen about every 70 to 80 years. We had another one back in the 1850s, and it continued on with another one in the 1870s that was a subsequent part of that one. But if you look through European history, you will see these jubilees or debt reset purges about every 70 to 80 years in an economy, and it's just a natural cycle. You have about 70 to 80 years of inflation, and then you will have a deflationary cycle where you will purge all the inflation that occurred over 70 to 80 years in about 5 to 6 years' time. If people understand that and prepare for it, it can be one of the most exciting times of their life.
Well, let me ask you this. A lot of people are quoting, the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. If people understand these biblical principles, then what is known as the great wealth transfer will go into the hands of the righteous at these times. So it's maybe a bad time for the unrighteous, but it could be a great time for the righteous.
Absolutely true. Absolutely true. But I think a lot of people actually didn't find the biblical definitions regarding money of the righteous and the unrighteous. I just wanted to know what those were because I understand that in Messiah, we are all made righteous through him. No question about that. But regarding money, what does the Bible say about the handling of money? Who is righteous? Who is unrighteous pertaining to finances? And so I just plugged those two words into my concordance in my computer, because we know that Proverbs 13:22, the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. And Sid, I stumbled upon the most amazing thing that was shocking to me. I was just shocked, honestly, when I read this, because the first scripture I ran into was Psalm 37:21, and it just changed my perspective on this, because it defines in one scripture verse who is the wicked and who is the righteous. And it says in Psalm 37:21, the wicked borrows and does not pay back, but the righteous is gracious and gives, or shows mercy and gives. And I thought, well, if we just plug those definitions into the Proverbs 13:22 scripture, it says, then the wealth of the one who has borrowed and does not pay back is stored up for the one who shows mercy and gives. And I thought, oh my goodness, there are just millions of people that did not understand that they're thinking, I'm righteous because I'm in Messiah. And yes, certainly you are righteous in that way, but the way that you're handling money is opposite of what the Bible describes as righteous, which is one who shows mercy and gives, as opposed to those who borrow and cannot pay back.
Well, you know, Craig, I think what's so fabulous, you talk about the validity of seed faith, of sowing and reaping.
Yes.
But you show why it doesn't work for most people. You stated that if 100 people were given $10,000 today, briefly, what would happen?
Well, the statistic shows that if we gave 100 people $10,000 today and we came back a year later to see what they had done, 80 of them would have nothing left. 16 would have $10,300 to $10,500, or about the amount that you'd have if you put the money in the bank. And 4 of them would have multiplied that money to between $20,000 and $1 million. And if we just look at arithmetic functions, what we find is 80% of the people are real good at subtraction. 16% of the people have learned a little something about addition. Only 4% have learned about multiplication. And so what we find that is true is the 4% practice 5 secrets that I discovered in the Bible, and I wrote a book on that, 5 wealth secrets 96% of us don't know. And these are simple things. You know, when people...
I'll tell you what, we're out of time right now, but Mishpocha, I want you to get this in the hands of every young person you know. I want this to get into your hands. These wealth principles, they come from the Bible and they work in a supernatural fashion. I want to get this into your hands. 8 CDs called God's Power to Get Wealth and the book 5 Wealth Secrets 96% of Us Don't Know, available for a gift of $45. To hear this week's interview or watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpocha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 704-943-6500. That's 704-943-6500. For a CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation to Sid Roth, that's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278.